This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 1st, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 236. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. The Is It Just Me commentary. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And the big deal feature. The All-Party Committee on Reforming Policing in BC made two big recommendations last week to replace the RCMP with a provincial police force and to merge municipal forces in neighboring communities. Hear former police chief and former Solicitor General Cash Heed's reaction. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or is it time to catch up on what you might have missed in the Breaker.News? If it's already part of your daily routine, I thank you. But I know that people have busy lives, so in case you missed it, BC NDP Environment Minister George Heyman flew all the way to Glasgow, Scotland and back for the UN Climate Party last fall. He also needed a car and driver to visit the test site of a hydrogen-powered train. He could have taken a conventional train to see the hydrogen train, but he took a car instead. Victoria City Councillor Sharmark Dubow is bowing out of civic politics in October. He won't run again because he says he wants to explore other opportunities to learn. You know what? He probably learned the hard way that he won't be reelected after floating the pandemic travel ban in 2020. He was inundated with email from people who said they voted for him. They were not pleased and many wanted him to resign right then. And Richmond real estate and immigration lawyer Hong Guo is back in the news. Her companion, Wolfgang Richter, was chastised by a BC Supreme Court judge for attempting to extort a six-figure settlement after a real estate deal went sour. Richter and Guo tried to make an offer for a pair of West End walk-up apartment buildings that are on land that is zoned for skyscrapers. That's just a taste of what's on now in the Breaker.News, available around the clock. Tell your friends, tell your enemies too.
What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news.
This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The BC NDP government's response to the Black Lives Matter and George Floyd protests of spring 2020 was an all-party committee to reform policing in British Columbia. That committee released its report on April 28th with 11 recommendations. At the top of the list, a proposal to replace the RCMP with a provincial police force and to merge existing municipal forces in neighboring communities. Those ideas are not new. For the better part of two decades, Cash Heed has urged lawmakers to make these big changes for better, more efficient policing and better accountability. Cash Heed is the former Deputy Chief of the Vancouver Police, the former Chief of the West Vancouver Police, and former BC Solicitor General. He's my guest on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. I started by asking Cash Heed for his reaction to the report's main recommendations.
I'm optimistic right now that at least we have them looking at this or recognizing the particular problem. For 15 years, I've been advocating for police reforms around the structure of policing here in British Columbia. When the special committee was formed because of or after the Black Lives Matter movement and some other incidents here in Canada, it was encouraging at least they were going to look at the racial inequality of the way we police communities and how we deal with, for example, some of the people in emotional crisis. So I think there's a lot of positive from these 11 recommendations that come out of that. A bit of a surprise to me was the fact that they ventured down this road on restructuring the policing here in British Columbia. And I think a lot of that was because the people that came before them, the people that presented them on ideas, talked about these big ticket items, these large approaches that needed to be taken to bring BC into the 21st century and how we police and offer protective services to our community. So it's encouraging. Am I overly optimistic that it's going to occur? Not that optimistic, let me put it that way, simply because I feel with the current government right now, they don't have the will and desire to take on this, the extensive amount of work and thick skin that's going to be required in order to accomplish this, because you're going to get such a pushback like I have got for the last 15 years, not only from local government, but a significant pushback from the RCMP, who, you know, think that they own policing here in British Columbia, and how dare anyone challenge them on how we are to police this province and our communities.
The RCMP has a two-pronged mandate as a federal investigation force that polices communities on contract, but it is full of internal and external challenges, from workplace bullying and harassment to troubled relations with First Nations, from BC's gang wars to casino and real estate money laundering. Are the Mounties doing enough to fight crime? Under Surrey Mayor Doug McCallum, the RCMP is being replaced by a new municipal force.
We don't know the costs of this, and we don't know when it's all going to be over. It's a work in progress, and this might be the test case for whatever the committee is recommending on replacing the RCMP. If this doesn't go the right way, then we might be stuck with the RCMP for many years.
Well, there's an endless amount of examples where the RCMP have lost the public trust and their credibility, and you named quite a few of them, so I'm not going to go over that, but I must tell you, just based on the settlements, due to some of the issues that they face within their own ranks, it's taxpayers' money being spent of over $1 billion to settle those particular disputes with very, very few people held to account. We've had denial within that organization of systemic racism or unconscious biases or biases as a result of their policies that are not sufficiently being addressed. So when we get a special committee reporting out like they have here, it's encouraging if those recommendations are actually acted upon by government. But let's just talk about the cost, because you've raised a very, very important issue. And I think this will be the issue that the RCMP will highlight and others will highlight as a reason why we should not do this. I've seen this take place before. We spend over $2 billion a year on policing here in the province of British Columbia. I have called for audits. When I was in government, I called for an audit by the Auditor General to look at what we spend that $2 billion on. I have never been successful having that audit. When I tried to do my own internal audit, I met sufficient resistance from the RCMP on any of the, for example, at that time, just under $400 million being spent on just the provincial policing side of it, not even looking at the contractual arrangements they have with local governments on this. But when you look at the cost savings, the economies of scale that can be garnished by going to a unified approach, going to a BC provincial police agency that I talked about or mused about in government and with the media in 2010, and I actually had a long conversation with Vic Taves, who was the public safety minister at that time, as to why we need to look at our own provincial police service and look at three areas for regionalization, those highly densely populated areas, such as the Capital Region, such as Metro Vancouver, and such as the Central Okanagan Interior, where we have a balkanized approach to how they police those communities. So when we look at that, when we look at what we can do, how we can bring the accountability back to BC, how we can bring the governance back to BC and what we should be doing, it's encouraging that we can look at something like this as a document or a guiding document. But I really raise a caution flag here that if government decides to accept these recommendations and act on those recommendations in a short time.
The last two recommendations of the report call for further study. It calls for an all-party committee to review mental health and an all-party committee to review how the report is implemented. But there are so many budget challenges for the NDP government in BC. As BC continues to grapple with the pandemic and the opioid overdose crisis, From cleaning up natural disasters to the doctor's deficit, a million people in BC do not have a family doctor.
Well, they've got $2 billion that they can start to look at. When we talked about this concept of defunding the policing, I use the term divesting in policing, because I think the way we do business right now, we should divest in the way we do business right now. We should look at a tiered level of response for protective services for the people here in British Columbia, for the various communities, where in fact, you're not going to have that high expensive response from police when there's some other responses you can utilize to ensure that the public is protected, that the public is served, that we're dealing with not only actual crime, we're dealing with the fear of crime, we're dealing with some of those emotional health issues that police are often called upon to respond to. You have police leaders that certainly will tell you that, look, the majority of people we deal with, especially in the urban areas, they're drug addicted or have some mental health issues, or there's a poly approach to why we have to respond to these particular individuals. But at the same time, you ask them how many officers, for example, they have working with the mental health workers, how many officers they have in drug enforcement, you'll see that it's minute compared to what they're spending their money on. So again, there's been some disengagement from police leaders here in British Columbia. And I think a lot of that is protectionism. I think a lot of that, not only from the local mayors, but certainly from the police chief, is not wanting to lose their control, not wanting to lose their power, not wanting to lose their high position in these particular areas. So these are things we have to look at, because there is money if we really want to revamp the and restructure policing here in British Columbia, along with everything you mentioned, Bob, around all these other issues and all these other agencies or stakeholders within government that have a role to play in protective services.
This report came the same week as big city BC mayors pleaded for the NDP government to help deal with the uptick in crime that is driven by repeat offenders. I asked Cash Heed, how will this issue affect local government elections this fall?
Let me tell you, we often default to the same lines we do every year when we're nearing the election, especially if there's an issue around public awareness of public safety. And I think we've done the same thing here. We've using the rhetoric of we can arrest our way out of the problems, we can go deal with it through the criminal justice system. That's part and parcel of the problem. We never get to the root causes of some of these issues. And I know they're expensive at this time, but if you take a long-term approach and you go beyond your elected political years on what needs to be done, there is pathways for us to take. And there's pathways we need to engage in right away. However, again, Bob, you raised a very important issue here, is this a political wrangling by the current provincial government? There are aspects of that. However, I'm trying to find some silver lining in this, and that is the discussion regarding restructuring policing, because if you can restructure all of that, some of the things will start to fall in line, because you bring governance back to British Columbia, you bring accountability to leaders, police leaders that make, $300,000 to $350,000 a year, make them account to what they are doing, hold them account to deal with the drug issue, the gang issue, the property crime issues, all of those urban decay issues that Vancouver is facing. You know, we hear a lot of complaints coming from the police department. We don't see many solutions, and there are solutions to this particular problem, but there has to be a will to move forward on those solutions and put your neck on the line a little bit. You get paid well for it. You get paid to deal with problems. Deal with those problems. Just don't be political in your responses.
That was my guest, Cash Heed, the former deputy chief of the Vancouver Police, the former chief of the West Vancouver Police, and former BC Solicitor General. News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Taiwan news, Taiwan Foreign Ministry condemns media for fueling Chinese propaganda. Ministry of Foreign Affairs accused local news agency of promoting statements that twist facts. One example was disinformation about the U.S. delegation led by Senator Lindsey Graham. China claimed that the reason for the trip was to sell Boeing 787 planes. Taiwan's foreign ministry said it respects freedom of the press, but is concerned about reports with basic factual errors. The ministry suggested that the public always be highly vigilant about the CCP government's cognitive warfare schemes launched in Taiwan through local help. In Hong Kong Free Press, ex-head of Hong Kong's Tiananmen Vigil group convicted over release political prisoners balloon. The 65-year-old was convicted on two charges, flying a balloon exceeding 2 meters in controlled airspace and obstructing a police officer. Ex-lawmaker Lee Chuk-yen was jailed 3 weeks. In Kyoto News, missing tourist boat found underwater off Hokkaido. A tourist boat that went missing April 23rd off Hokkaido was found underwater on April 29th, the Japan Coast Guard said. 12 of the 26 people aboard remained unaccounted for. The 19-ton Kazu-1 was located after the Maritime Self-Defense Force conducted a search with an underwater camera off the Shiratoko Peninsula. So far, the bodies of 14 people have been found. The Kazu-1 was sailing despite bad weather forecasts and warnings.
That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In the Oregonian, Willamette Valley wine industry evaluates a wicked night of frost. Early breaking grapevine buds in numerous Willamette Valley vineyards were damaged by a sustained spring frost. Dal Crisp, the co-owner of Lumos Wine Company in Philomath, described the period from late April 14th into the following day's pre-dawn hours as particularly wicked. Sterling Fox, a veteran vineyard manager and winery owner, predicted the frost damage threatened to cut the Willamette Valley's annual grape crop in half. The frosting of the valley raises important questions about climate change, the challenges involved with managing secondary crops, and the impact lower yields will have on everything from vineyard labor to the state of Oregon's economy. In the Spokane Spokesman Review, thank you, Spokane. Paul McCartney rocks a packed arena with Beatles classics, solo tunes, and a hilarious fan interaction. Back in the USSR, a live staple was cut, which was not surprising. For the encore, McCartney emerged waving the Ukrainian flag and then launched into the Beatles classic, Birthday. It was a gesture befitting so much of McCartney's career. Celebratory, reflective, political, and revolutionary. McCartney looked smashing in a blue blazer and blue jeans at 79. He turns 80 on June 18th. In the Victoria Times Colonist, convoy protests in Victoria add up to nearly $400,000 in overtime policing costs. As the protests occurred at the BC legislature, overtime costs are being covered by the province, Victoria Police said. More than 50 tickets were issued under the Motor Vehicle Act, as well as 4 City of Victoria honking bylaw citations, and 3 arrests were made, police said. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. And it don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate, so you won't stand alone, you won't stand alone. The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to pediatricians to daycare operators, and from school teachers to coaches, the people across BC who care for children. Children are our future, and May is Child Care Month in BC. Tip of the hat to all of you. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. Domi. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 1st, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 1st of May in 1956, the polio vaccine developed by Jonas Salk is made available to the public? Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's patreon.com/TheBreakerNews.
Until next week.